Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we will read again at verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In a world where there is much uncertainty, it is good to know that Jesus is the light of the world. The world is full of darkness, but if we follow Christ, he promises that we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. By nature, men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, the Lord tells us. They are dead in trespasses and sins. They follow their own evil hearts and their own evil ways. But the Lord Jesus can change them. He can enlighten their minds. He can take away their darkness and shine in their hearts to give the true light. And he himself is that true light. We read in John chapter 1, verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And if we follow Christ, we have the evidence that we have life. He is our light, and he is our life. He assures us, furthermore, that if we follow him, he will give us what we truly love, himself. We will have Christ and all the blessedness of those that belong to him. Well, let us ask ourselves, do we desire to follow Christ? Do we long for that blessedness that comes only from him, as he is indeed the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings? Well, this evening we will consider, first of all, the light of the world. Jesus, again, he spake to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Secondly, let us consider his call to follow him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And finally, in the third place, let us consider the blessedness of the light. Having the light of life. So first, the light of the world. And secondly, the call to follow Christ. And thirdly, the blessedness of the light. The light of the world. As we find here that Jesus spake again to them. He had been interrupted. Certain Jews brought a woman, as they say, who was taken in adultery. And they ask him what his view of the matter was. Well, we know at the end they all left him, being convicted by their own consciences. And at last the Lord Jesus tells the woman, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And it appears that this occasion took place during the Feast of Tabernacles, or at the end of the feast. We find in chapter 7 that the Lord was going secretly to the Feast of the Tabernacles. But then he openly spoke at the temple, and he cried on the last day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So this was the occasion, the Feast of the Tabernacles, which was a feast the Israelites celebrated to commemorate their journey through the wilderness, dwelling in tents for 40 years. And after that, the Lord finally brought them to the Promised Land. The people during that period left their homes and lived in booths formed of the branches of trees. It was a joyful feast. The Lord brought his people to remember what he had done for them, how he provided for them in the wilderness for such a long time, and that he led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The Lord was their light. Jehovah was the light of his people. And now Christ has come as the light of the world. Well, in this Feast of Tabernacles, in the history of the Israelites, the Jews some point introduced two additions to the feast. And one was the drawing of water from the pool of Siloam and pouring that water upon the altar. And that was to be a memorial of the water from the rock in Horeb, where the Lord providing for his people water in the desert. And so to commemorate that, the Jews would take water from the pool of Siloam and pour it out on the altar. So that was one addition to the feast. And another was that two great lampstands had a multitude of lamps hanging from them, providing great light in the city. And the Jews celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles in the light of those two lampstands full of lights. Now, whether these additions had divine warrant, the point is that Christ shows us that he is everything that was symbolized by those activities. At least what the Jews saw represented, Christ himself is the source both of the living water and the light that truly satisfies. So, as the Jews poured out water from the pool of Siloam onto the altar, Christ stands up and says that he provides the living water. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was speaking of the Spirit, and that he would give spiritual life to souls. But also, just as those great lamps shined in the treasury, as he speaks in the treasury, verse 20 of our chapter, so the Lord Jesus himself is the great light. He is the light of the world. That those lamps were to symbolize the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Well, Christ is the true light, and he leads the way of his people. He lightens their darkness. He gives true and lasting joy. And so he says in our text, I am the light of the world. Just as God said to Moses, I am that I am. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is saying, I am the light of the world. No one else is the light of the world. No one else can provide that knowledge, that saving knowledge for salvation, and provide lasting, eternal satisfaction. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he was prophesied of in the Old Testament. We read in Isaiah 49, verse 6, God says to him, I will also give thee, speaking to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so Jesus is pointing to himself, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. I am the light of the world, the light that is for all the people of the world, all kinds of people throughout this whole wide world. I am the light of the world. And that is what Simeon understood when the Lord Jesus was just born and he was brought to the temple to be circumcised. We read that that the Simeon holds him in his arms and says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus is the light of the world, prophesied of in the Old Testament, and has come in fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, the Lord's people are lights also. John the Baptist, you remember, was called a burning and shining light. And he, in the first chapter of this gospel, we read in verse 7 that the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. So though John the Baptist was a burning, shining light, he was simply pointing to the light. He was bearing witness of the light that all men through him, that is John, all men through John might believe. So John was pointing to Christ. As you know, later on he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So the Apostle John goes on to say he was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And yet the Lord's people are indeed to be lights shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And the Lord Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." So the Lord's people are instruments to bear the light, to convey the knowledge of salvation to others, so that they might know the truth and they might know how to be saved. But Christ is the original light. He is the fountain of light. He is the essential light. And he calls himself the light of the world. And that tells us what he is in himself. To use the words of Matthew Henry, "most excellent and glorious." John again says that he is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus came into the world, and he lights every man. That is, he is the light of the world. He is the light of every man from all nations, not just for the Jews, not just for the light of his people Israel, but a light of the Gentiles. He is the light of the world, the source of all that is true and all that is real. He is the source of all life and blessedness. As we read in chapter 1, that he is the one who is the life that was the light of men. Verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And Jesus is the source of all that is truly light, all that is saving, all that is joyful, that is true and permanent and lasting. The life is the light of men. And it is only in Christ that all the attributes of God shine gloriously, most brilliantly in this world. Jesus is the light of the world, revealing the Father. He is called the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. So he is the radiance, the light of the Father's glory. He reveals the glory of God. The glory of God is the sum of the divine perfections. The glory of God is the supreme beauty of his perfections, God's holiness and wisdom, his wondrous excellencies. It's Christ who reveals the perfections of God. Revealing the perfections of God and their loveliness and their majesty and their splendor. Well, think for a moment what Christ has done to reveal the perfections of God more than any other means. For example, the authority of God and the holiness of God. Jesus, by obeying the law of God, has revealed God's holiness. The holy life of Christ reveals God's love of holiness, his love of righteousness, and his hatred of wickedness. The Lord Jesus says, "I do always those things that please him," so that God, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity, he is able to look on his holy child Jesus and be well pleased with all that he sees. So he delighted in his Son, his holy child Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, by suffering on the cross, sin was imputed to him. And when sin was laid on Christ, he must suffer for it. The justice of God demanded that sin be paid for by death, and even God's own Son must suffer and die when sin was imputed to him. Nothing could exempt Christ from suffering. So that reveals the exact justice of God. The point is, Jesus is the light of the world, revealing God and revealing the perfections of God, the wisdom of God, the justice of God, the holiness of God. And the Lord Jesus, standing in the room in place of his guilty people, received the full weight of God's wrath, and so that he satisfied the justice of God and declared, and God is declaring through the righteousness of Christ, that he, God, is both just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. And Jesus demonstrates the wisdom of God by his person and his work in the union of the divine nature and the human nature in the person of Christ, so that he might suffer in human nature, and his sufferings would be of infinite value by virtue of his divine nature. Do you see the wisdom of God in the person and work of Christ? Have your eyes and mind been open to see the divine perfections clearly displayed in the person and work of Christ in the salvation of sinners? Well, we should pray for that. Pray that our eyes will be opened spiritually so that we would see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Those who have come to Jesus, God has shined in their hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that is, to have spiritual knowledge, to see in Christ the holiness, justice, goodness, truth of God. In him, in Christ, the light of the world. I am the light of the world. The light of the world. What is the world? Well, it's not planet Earth, but it's the people who live on the earth. It's the world of mankind, sinners. It is the world in the sense of the realm of mankind, the reign of the carnal mind, which is enmity against God. It's the world in its character, which is being brought before us in its opposition, its hostility towards God. Man is in a state of moral darkness, and therefore the word world is bringing before us man in his need, man who is exposed to judgment, man who is exposed to wrath, man who is alienated from God and not the friend of God. But Jesus is saying he's the light of the world, and he can reveal the knowledge of God, which is necessary for salvation, because man does not have that of himself. Man in his own wisdom, man according to his own light, well, man's light is darkness, and though he does have some intellectual light, he has the light of nature, conscience, but that knowledge that man has by nature is not sufficient for salvation. So man left to himself, the world left to itself, remains in darkness when it comes to salvation. It is only Christ who gives the light that is sufficient, that is necessary for salvation. He gives the light of the knowledge of salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. This dark world, the world is full of darkness. It's only Christ who gives the light which is true and lasting and satisfying. And Christ then is to the world of mankind what the sun is to this planet Earth. What would this earth be without the sun? What would it be? It would be a cold and lifeless planet where there would be no sign of life. Everything is frozen and cold and dead. And so the world of mankind, sinners, would be nothing but deathness, dullness, coldness. You see, Jesus is the light of the world, which brings life. And what a dead place this world would be without the gospel. How thankful we should be for the gospel that reveals the way of salvation. Now, this world would be a dungeon, a spiritual cell without Christ. But Christ is the light of the world. And what joy that brings to sinners. It should be a joyful thing to know that Christ is the light of the world, that he came to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus proclaims that he is the light. He gives light. He shows the way of salvation, that he himself is the Savior, and he is the light of the world for sinners all over the world, no matter what their race or nationality, or whether they are male or female, or whatever their language is, or culture or background. It doesn't matter if they are ignorant or if they are educated, whether they are young or old or rich or poor, the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. He saves sinners of all classes. He is the light. He gives true, spiritual, saving knowledge, the knowledge which is necessary for the salvation of our souls. He's the prophet to reveal to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. And he, just as the light dispels the darkness, so the Lord Jesus dispels ignorance and the darkness of sin. We noticed something of that last Sabbath evening. The light takes away the darkness, and so Christ puts away our sin. And he died to do that, to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. His blood purges the conscience. It's the death of Christ that satisfied the justice of God so that Christ purchased forgiveness by his blood. And the Lord Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to purify our hearts, to make us holy in our souls. Do we desire this light of purity and holiness? But also the light of Christ is providing love. Love for those who are alienated and outcasts, without hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings, and warms the world with his love, and so melts our hearts so that we desire him above all. And he also brings joy. Joy and gladness for those who are sitting in gloom and despair. The Lord Jesus gives joy by saving us from our sins. What could be more joyful to us than to have our sins forgiven? Do you desire that, to have your sins forgiven? What joy would it bring to your heart to know that you are pardoned, that you are blessed with forgiveness, that your sins are not on you, but they are removed from you, and that all your sins are cast into the depths of the sea. What a blessing that would be. Well, this is what Jesus brings as the light of the world. And all of this is offered to you in the gospel. Jesus proclaims himself to be the light of the world, offering you this spiritual knowledge and purity and love and joy. It's all of you. All of this is yours in the gospel. And if you receive Christ, it's yours in your heart, yours in possession. And he's calling upon you to receive him, to believe in him. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he promises that those who follow him shall have this light. They will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, in the second place, let us consider his call to follow him. The call to follow Christ. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, what is it to follow Christ? He's telling us that if we follow him, we will have light. Well, what is meant by following Christ? Well, first of all, think of what it is to follow someone to guide you when it is night. Perhaps a friend of yours who is going to lead you in the darkness with his torch. And so you don't have a torch, but your friend does, and you're going to follow him. And though it's dark out there, you're not afraid because, well, your friend has a light, and he knows the way, and he is your friend. And so you follow him. Why? Because you trust him. You believe that he will take you to the right place. He goes left, you go left too. You follow him, he goes straight, you follow him going straight as well. So what is happening? Well, what's happening is you're following him. And again, you follow him because you believe that he will lead you the right way, and you're therefore following his instructions. Well, isn't that what it is to follow Christ? When we follow Christ, we first of all believe in him. You're not following your friend unless you believe that he can lead you the right way. And so we're following Christ only if we're really trusting in him. We're not really following him unless we're believing in him. And he's calling us to believe in him, calling us to trust in him. He says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11, verse 25. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Are we trusting in Christ? What is it to believe in Christ? Well, it's to come to him in our hearts. Our hearts are going to him, and we're trusting in him to save us from our sins. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest on him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Are we depending on him for salvation? Are we going to the precious blood? Is the blood of Christ precious to us? Do we desire him to save us by his death on Calvary? Is that our hope for eternity? Can we say with David, "This is all my salvation and all my desire"? Those who truly believe in Christ love him. Their hearts go to him, depending on him, embracing him. But to follow Christ also includes obedience, obeying Christ. Those who truly trust in him obey him, and they are following his instructions. If you are following your friend in the dark, well, when he directed you to go a certain way, you would go just as he directed you. And if you didn't, if he went right and you go left, what's going to happen? You're going to get lost. So in following Christ, we are doing what he directs us to do. We are doing, in fact, we're doing what he does. We're doing what he does. In other words, we follow his example. That's following Christ, when we follow his example. So there is conformity to Christ in following him. We are looking to him, to imitate him, to copy him. Follow his example. That's what God's people have been elected to do. They are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." By looking to Jesus, we're changed to be like him, and that's our duty. So we're focused upon Christ. When we follow Christ, we look to him. He's the light, and the eyes go to the light. We are looking to him, focused upon him, to be like him. And so following Christ includes trust in Christ, obedience to Christ, focusing upon him, looking to him, and as well as hearing his word. How do we know of Christ without him revealing himself in his word? In other words, we're to go to the word and read the word and have the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Jesus says that we're to abide in him, and he abides in us by his words abiding in us. John chapter 15, verse 7. And following Christ means submission to his will. Where he leads in providence, that's where we go. So submission to the will of Christ in regard to all the circumstances that we find ourselves in. In other words, we're recognizing that Christ has ordered it, and therefore we're not murmuring, but we're submitting to his will in providence. We read in Amos chapter 3 and verse 6, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" Whatever takes place in this world, doesn't matter who the evil people are, God has ordered it in his providence, and we are to submit to his will. And we're to pray for enemies, and that God would turn them from the evil of their ways. But the circumstances we're in, we have to remember it's God's providence, and we're to not quarrel against God, but meekly submit to his will. And seek to be led by him in providence, that we would follow his will. We're not saying my will, but we're saying God's will be done. We must not go ahead of Christ. Think what would happen if your friend was leading you in the dark with his torch, but you decide to leave him behind, and you're going to go ahead of him. Well, you'll end up in the bushes or the trees or with an accident. You've got to follow. You can't lead. Jesus is the leader and commander of the people. He is the light of the world. We're to follow him and submit to him and not run ahead of him, but meekly submit to him and follow his will. Keep his commandments. As he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Remember, the Lord's people are sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd, and the sheep are not to go their own way. That's what we desire to do by nature, according to our sinful hearts. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if we're following Christ, we have the evidence that we're his sheep. And we're to follow him just as Peter did in the prison. He followed the angel. He was in prison, and he was chained to two soldiers, two guards. But the angel appeared, a light shined in the prison, the chains fell off, and Peter followed the angel. And he followed him through the first and second ward, and then the gate opened of its own accord, and Peter was set at liberty. And what would happen if Peter said, no, I'm not going to follow the angel's directions? Well, he'd still be in prison. But how much more should we follow the angel of the covenant? He provides not only a light, but he is the light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So we're to follow the Lord Jesus by trust, obedience, looking to him, submitting to his will, and abiding in him, staying near to Christ. That's involved in following Christ, when we're keeping close to him in our souls and desiring intimate communion with Christ. If you were following a friend, but staying a considerable distance behind him, you're very much in danger of being lost. You've got to keep close. He has the light, you don't. You've got to stay close to him and not lag behind. So we need to follow close to Christ in our souls, praying to him, staying near to him, desiring to be with him, and to be near him in our thoughts and desires, longing, loving dependence on Christ, feeling in our souls that without him we can do nothing, feeling our need of Christ every hour and trusting in him constantly, depending upon him to keep us. And that being the case, well, the Lord Jesus promises, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Shall not walk in darkness. And this will necessarily be the case. Stay close to the light, you're not going to be in the darkness. If you don't follow the light, you will be in the darkness. Think of the children of Israel when they were being led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, well, they were led the right way as long as they were willing to follow the cloudy pillar. But those who didn't follow, those who rebelled against God and Moses, well, they would deviate from the right path. And think of some who rebelled in the Old Testament times, that they said, no, we're going to go this way. Well, they might go away from the manna. They would go away from the water. And we read in the Word of God that rebels inhabit parched lands. They would end up as skeletons in the barren wasteland. But those who steadily followed the pillar of fire would not walk in darkness. They would, in other words, avoid the danger. Avoid the danger. We're being warned about spiritual darkness. The danger of unbelief, the danger of disobedience. How perilous it is to go our own way. And to go our own way is ultimately to go in a way of death. Jesus said, "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." To go away from the light and not follow Christ is to go down a path that leads to eternal death, ending our life in eternal darkness. That's a tunnel of darkness, and there's no light at the end of that tunnel. It's the blackness of darkness forever. And we're warned about going that way that the world goes. Jesus is the light of the world, so that the world would not be in darkness. But if we follow the world in its darkness, we will end our days in outer darkness, the blackness of darkness of hell. So, friends, we must not follow the multitude to do evil. Going the broad way that leads to destruction. The Lord Jesus calls us to follow him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We're to believe in him and obey him, follow him, seek to do his will. And if you follow him, he promises you, you will not walk in darkness. You will avoid, you will escape eternal death. And you will escape also many dangers in this world. You'll be kept from the power of darkness. Those who follow Christ, they are not under the power of darkness. They are not under the dominion of sin. And Jesus will keep them from falling into sin. This woman who was taken in adultery, it was to be a joyful time, the Feast of Tabernacles, celebrating God delivering his people, but here she was walking in darkness. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so following Christ, Jesus tells her, go and sin no more. So if she follows Christ, she will not walk in darkness. So following Christ is the way to avoid sin. Following close to Christ is the way to avoid falling into gross sin. God promises to keep us from foul sin. How? By following Christ, the light of the world. So we're to watch and pray. To avoid entering into temptation, we're to watch our own hearts, and we're to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart, following Christ, trusting in Christ, obeying Christ. Friends, this is the means of avoiding not only great sin, but avoiding great mistakes in our lives. Surely we can gather that from this part of God's word. If we follow close to Christ, he will keep us from making huge mistakes in our lives, going out of God's will. We don't know what is best for us, but we do know this, that if we look to the Lord, he will give us what is best. If we follow close to Christ, he will lead us safely. We don't know the safe way of ourselves, but Jesus is the light of the world. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He will lead his people. He will lead them to avoid the cliffs and other dangerous situations. He will show us the way. He will lead us in a safe path, the best path, if we stay close to him, if we follow him. As one says, that he gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. The very best. So let us follow Christ. Follow him closely, looking to Jesus, the light of the world. So the Lord promises to help his people. And others, they try to draw our attention, the world and its opinion, Satan and his lies, sinful inclinations. And we're to resist these with all our heart, and ask ourselves, are we willing to follow Christ alone? Do we follow him? What are the evidences of following Jesus? Well, when he reveals his commandments to us, do we delight to obey him? Do we delight in his law? He gives us, as it were, a set of instructions to follow. Do we read his word? Do we love his word? Do we want to follow his instructions? When he points to himself as the light, and the eyes naturally go to the light, is it natural, as it were, to go to Jesus? That is, do we desire to, are we willing to go to the light, willing to go to Jesus, willing to look to him and stay close to him and to study him, to study his life, his character, his example, focused upon him as our pattern, and seeking, earnestly desiring to be conformed to him, that our life would match his life in that obedience to the will of God and seeking to be following the path of righteousness. Well, again, friends, he promises us that if we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we consider in the third place the blessedness of the light. The blessedness of the light. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. They shall have it. You desire it, you will have it. You follow Jesus, you will have Christ. You will hold the light. This is his promise. We follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have, we will hold, we will keep, as it were, the light of life. So Jesus is the light, and he says, you will have the light. You will have Christ. You will have him. He's yours. He's your Savior. Ultimately, you desire Christ, you have Christ. And Christ, who is the light of the world, is also the life. He shall have the light of life. If we follow Christ, we'll have the life that is new and spiritual and everlasting. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Simply put, those who follow Christ are saved. Those who follow Christ are saved. So as we said already, all that Christ proclaims as the light of the world, and all that the light gives is offered to us. But if we follow him, these blessings are ours in possession. So Christ gives us saving knowledge, spiritual light. He himself is wisdom from God. And so, following him, he will say to our souls, I am thy salvation. I that speak unto thee am he. If we follow Christ, we will have what we desire, holiness, purity of heart. He will make us holy. We follow him, he will give us what we desire, even righteousness in our souls. He will cause us to grow as well. That's another thing that the light does, the sunshine. It causes the plants to grow. And so if we follow Christ, he will cause us to grow in grace and holiness and conformity to him. He will also give us his love. He will manifest himself to us. As he says in his word in John chapter 14 and verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." And here it is, "And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I am the light of the world." And Jesus will manifest his presence, his bright, wondrous presence to those who follow him, to those who love him and desire to keep his commandments. And he will give us joy and gladness. He declares that he is the light of the world, and so those who follow him, staying near the light, they will have the joy of the light. And that's why he has spoken to his people. John 15, verse 11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Sometimes believers lack joy. They might even feel that they're walking in darkness and have no light, and yet they're God's people. They are walking, they're endeavoring to follow him, serving him, fearing the Lord, referring to that well-known verse in Isaiah. They walk in darkness and have no light, but they stay upon the Lord. The Lord will draw near to them. And so he is assuring us that though they may walk in darkness and lack that comfort they desire, it will not be forever. He will draw near to them again. He will turn again and have compassion upon us, the prophet says. So he assures us that he will give us comfort in our souls. He is the light, and he promises to give the light of life. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The light is life. There's no greater, better life than from the one who gives the light. "He shall have the light of life." Those who have these blessings of knowledge and purity and love and joy, those who have these benefits realize this is the true life. This is the real life. No other life is worth having. They'll never go back. Those who have these benefits, they don't want to go back to the world. Their old sinful nature might gravitate and desire it, but they hate that, and they feel in their souls there's no other life worth living than the Christian life. A life of dependence upon the light, a life of holiness and purity, the light of purity, a life of pleasing the Lord, a life of nearness to the light. This is the life. And so you see, friends, that if we have this light, this saving knowledge, spiritual light, holiness, love, joy, then it's evidence that we have spiritual life in our souls. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The light of these benefits is evidence that we have real life, spiritual life in our souls. And on the other hand, it's a warning against presumption. What I mean is this: a person might say that they're a Christian, a true believer. He might say, she might say, "I have life, spiritual life, but there's not light. There's not light in their life. There's not the spiritual knowledge and holiness and growth and love and even joy and delight in God. It's not the life that they say they have is not evident by the light." And so their claim to have this life is spurious, it's false. It's not evident by the fruits of righteousness that should be in their lives. But if we follow Christ, the light of the world, we'll have that light of life. So Christ is the life, the true life, eternal life. Which means were to go to him for spiritual life and the light of joy and happiness. Whatever true comfort and happiness is in the world, it's because of Christ, he who is the life and the light both. As the apostle says, the life was the light of men. It is the Lord Jesus who gives them their joy and happiness. He gives them a life that is worth living, a life of peace and inward satisfaction, because Jesus alone takes away the darkness. He takes away the misery. He takes away the sin. He removes the lostness of purpose. He gives light and determination to serve him. And all of this leads to everlasting life, the light of eternal life in heaven above where Christ is. Well, friends, let us be thankful for this precious portion of God's word. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It comes in after this narrative of the woman taken in adultery, about to be stoned to death, but Jesus does not condemn her. Go and sin no more. And it is followed by this great dispute of the Jews questioning the authority of Christ. Here's this wonderful text, this portion of God's word, where Jesus is offering himself as the light of the world, and that if we come to him and follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus, the Apostle John says, lightens every man. That is, he's the light of people all over the world. And this light is to shine to all the nations. And let us be praying that Christ will be preached to all the world. It is Christ who enlightens the darkness. He dispels the darkness. Let us pray that the nations of the earth would no longer be in darkness. Pray that we would not be in darkness. But as the light is proclaimed, so may the light shine and the light be received. Friend, you're called upon to receive the light, to follow the light. And if you follow him, if you trust in him, you obey him, you will have the light of life. You will have Christ and blessedness, Christ and happiness, Christ and satisfaction. Hear what God says of him. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And what does this mean? It means this: to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, enable us to draw nigh to thee and give thanks unto thee for thy word, this precious word of Christ, promising that if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We pray thee, Lord, then, to bless thy word by bringing us to Christ, causing us to follow him. Oh, may we be persuaded by the power of the Spirit and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. Bless each and every one of us, all the congregation, and grant that each one would hear the voice of Christ and come to him and be saved. May all of us be found in him, clothed in his righteousness and washed by his precious blood, and pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall read to sing to God's praise in conclusion from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day God made. In it we'll joy triumphantly. Save now, I pray thee. Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he in God's great name that cometh us to save. We from the house which to the Lord pertains, you blessed have. God is the Lord, who unto us hath made light to arise. Bind ye unto the altar's horns with cords the sacrifice. Thou art my God, I'll thee exalt. My God, I will thee praise. Give thanks to God, for he is good. His mercy lasts always. We will sing these four stanzas to the praise of God. Psalm 118 from verse 24. This is the day God made.